Please open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And as John mentioned, if you haven't met me before, my name's Rory. I'm one of the elders only recently at our Reforming Church. And I would love to meet you if I haven't already over a cup of tea after the service. Have you ever been mistaken for someone else? Or maybe you've just been told that you look like someone else. I seem to get this quite a bit. Growing up, I had a curly red afro, and I ended up with the nickname Ronald. Then, later on, people said I looked like Napoleon Dynamite, a movie that you might not have heard of. And often, I'll get told that someone saw me at this place or that, when in fact, I was at home or at work all along. While it's not so common to face the problem of mistaken identity, I'm going to make the claim that we can all get a case of it, even if you don't know. Well, what do you think? Let's see what God says today in Colossians chapter 3 to find out the answer. So this morning we're going to be looking at the difference it makes to be new in Christ. We'll see why it's so important to know your true identity and how that shapes every aspect of your daily life. And here's the direction where we'll be going. There's an outline on the back of your service sheets to follow as well. Firstly, how you've been raised with Christ. When you've been raised with Christ, you have a new identity. Then we'll see how this leads to putting to death the old you. And thirdly, there must be something in place of that old self, putting on the new you. And finally, we'll see what this looks like for making relationships new. Let me just set the context and give some background to this part of the Bible. Colossians was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Colossae. And his main aim in writing this letter was to strengthen them so that they'd be able to continue and stand firm in Christ, because there were many people spreading false ideas and teachings around this area. Which leads us right into today's passage. The first point is that when you've been raised with Christ, you're a new person. 3 verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Paul's saying that if you're in Christ, you have a new identity. And you need to set your mind on this fact. These first few verses set the foundation for this whole passage. If you've taken part in Jesus' death and resurrection, through trusting in him, you have new life in Christ. You're raised with Christ. The true self, the real you, is actually hidden with Christ above, as we read in verse 3. Your new life above is in the heavenly realms with God. You need to know and remember your true identity. The truth that there is no condemnation because Christ took it all at the cross. The truth that you've been set free from the law of sin and death. The truth that Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of the law that you never could. The truth that you've been adopted into the family of God to be called one of his children. And the truth that you're an heir to the eternal inheritance of everlasting life in God's kingdom. And I could keep going all day. That was just from Romans 8, the passage we read before. There's loads more of these promises and truths in the Bible. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to this world, the fallen, broken, sinful, hurt-filled place that we call home, where the grip of sin and death hold on so tightly. In Romans 8:3, it says, God condemned sin in the flesh. That is, Christ took the payment sin required, which was death, so that we wouldn't receive condemnation for our sin. And if you're in Christ, you have died to this world too. Having a new identity can be a difficult thing to grasp. I remember when I'd just finished uni and was a newly qualified podiatrist. I'd graduated, I was qualified and registered, and had been trained to do the job of a podiatrist without any supervision. As a student, every little decision would need the supervisor's approval. Every bit of paperwork or letter needed their signature at the bottom. But now, out on my own, I still felt like I was a student. Writing letters and clinical notes, I had to keep reminding myself not to put student underneath my name. I could sign podiatrist. The fact that I was not a student anymore was as concrete and true as could be. But it didn't feel real to me in those first few months. I had to set my mind on the truth of the matter and convince my feelings otherwise. This is how it is with the Christian. You have an identity that's hidden, kept safe in Christ with God. But maybe sometimes it does feel hidden, as if it's not true, it's far off. But it's no less real, even though you can't see or feel it. That's why if you're in Christ, you need to fix your mind on things above, not on things below. Turn your mind to the place where your true identity is. Secure with Christ, God's King, ruling in his kingdom. This is an active thing that requires conscious decision and action. It might sound simple, but be who you already are. All those truths I just mentioned are yours in Christ. You just need to hold on to them. Live as though they're true for you, because they are true. Not just some nice ideas out there, but your core identity. Where is your true identity? If you're a Christian, you've been raised with Christ. You've been made a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The second point that being made new in Christ, you must be put to death the old you. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. See here that getting rid of the old self is a result of being clear in your new identity. This point only comes after you've been raised with Christ. Paul's talking here about putting sin to death. And see the list of examples that he gives. Not just avoiding these things, but killing them, killing the root cause. Romans 8:7 showed us that anyone living in the flesh, not in Christ, is hostile to God and cannot submit to God's laws or please him. And that's how all of us in Christ once lived too. So if you're listening to this and thinking, well, here's some good tips for cleaning up my life, well, you've got the whole point wrong. It's only once you come to Jesus and admit your wrong and need for him that you can even begin to start pleasing God. And this doesn't earn you favour with God, doesn't make you right with him. It's more like it makes him happy. He enjoys this. Putting to death, putting them all away, putting off, it's something that we're involved in. We have a part to play in sanctification, holiness, becoming more like Jesus. And you're responsible for the sin you commit. Don't pretend like you're a helpless victim to the devil's schemes. Sure, we are often on the receiving end of other people's sin. But when it comes to yourself, as we read in James, we're tempted into sin by our own desires, which is why we're commanded to make war on sin. I read a great quote from John Owen, a 17th century pastor. "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." Sin, rebellion against God, is woven into the fabric of our natural world. We're all born into it, and by default, are opposed to God. It's only when we're raised to new life in Christ that we can even start to fight sin and its power. Make no mistake, sin is not powerless. The schemes of the evil one, who seeks to lead any and everyone astray, are cunning. That's why we just can't sit back and cruise through the new life in Christ. How are we to battle against the evil that we know is so deep down in us? Like Paul, we groan at the things we know we shouldn't do, but we keep doing. Well, fighting sin is like weeding a garden. You don't just dig out one weed every now and then, or chop them off at the surface, mow them down perhaps. It's a constant struggle, day in, day out, to keep destroying and removing the weeds, roots and all. One day you've got no weeds, and then the next, 20 have grown back in their place. It doesn't stop. This is the same for the person in Christ. Although we're new in Christ, with his spirit in us, we're still living in bodies dead with sin. So what must we do to put the old self to death? We need to remember who we really are. That our new nature is not one enslaved to the passions of this world, but alive to the desires of God above. Then, living out of this truth, we can see the seriousness and horror of living in the old way. Held up to the light of the gospel, we can get to the root cause of our straying from God. What truth have we forgotten? What are we seeking to get from this evil way? We need to let God's word, by his spirit, correct our thinking and show us where we've failed. Don't just focus on one particular wrong, ignoring others. Seek to be obedient in every way, in all the little bits and pieces of our lives. But most of all, take your failures, wrongs, sin to the cross, knowing that it's been paid for, and mourning over the pain that you've brought on Jesus. Asking for forgiveness that will be freely given to you through Jesus. Well, having been raised to new life in Christ, you need to put off the old self, turning from the worldly way to something better. Now we're going to see how it isn't just enough to put off sin, you need to put on the new you. In verse 12, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." If you're trying to get somewhere, it's not enough just to know where you don't want to go, or to become like someone. You can't just know what not to do. You need a target, a destination, or a role model. Knowing who you are in Christ, you're to become more and more like Jesus. Notice all these qualities here. They're exemplified in the person of Jesus Christ himself. Take forgiveness, for example. Why is that so important that it's given as a command? You also must forgive. Well, forgiveness is at the very heart of Christianity. It's the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that you and I can find forgiveness in him through turning away from living life our own way and letting Christ rule our lives, trusting in him by faith. If you're in Christ, forgiveness is not an option. Now, it doesn't say here that it's always going to be easy or that you have to forgive on the spot. But real forgiveness shows that there has been hurt. I'm willing to absorb that pain, that cost, and not hold it against you anymore. It doesn't mean I'll just forget, or that if it was serious and laws were broken, I can still forgive and press charges. But I won't keep holding on to that pain, letting it rule me and eat me up inside with bitterness. Just like how Christ has forgiven me is how I should forgive. How are we to become more like Jesus? Well, there's some action as well as a direction to go. Look at verse 15 and 16. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. They're more passive actions, things being done to us, but still things that we need to be doing. And both of them come back to this first point, being who you are in Christ. Letting this truth and the power of Christ's word sink in deep. We don't just do this alone. Teaching, admonishing, singing are all things to be done in community. And there's a lot of thankfulness woven in here too. If we really understand our true identity, that we're raised with Christ and safe with him, then this is huge cause for us giving thanks. Because it's not something we even did ourselves. Putting on our new selves, being filled up with the gift we've been given in Christ, actually replaces the old, sinful way that we once walked in. And this new you is being renewed in knowledge by God, in verse 10, giving you a deeper grasp of your true identity, which is the image of God. And there's no distinctions in Christ. Just going back to the weeding illustration, if you pull out one weed and just leave it there with the fertile soil remaining, sooner or later another weed's going to come along and take its place. There needs to be something else growing, another plant that will fill up that space and stop more weeds from coming. This is what putting on the new you looks like. As you take better hold of who you are in Christ, the things that once filled your life, anger and slander, will be gradually replaced with patience and kindness, for example. Put on the new you, put on Christ. Firstly, we saw that if you're raised with Christ, you're given a new identity. And secondly, we looked at how this leads to putting off the old you. And thirdly, we heard how at the same time the new you needs to be put on as you become more like Christ. Now finally, we're going to see how new life in Christ plays out in real life relationships. If you've been raised to new life in Christ, and you're putting the old self to death while putting on Christ, this is going to lead to a change in your relationships. Now, there's six different groups Paul addresses here: wives, husbands, children, fathers, bondservants, which referred to workers, and masters or bosses, employers. And I just want you to notice that in all of these categories, we see a picture of the gospel. We see how we relate in these different ways to God himself. Let's start at wives. If we're raised in Christ, then we are Christ's bride, his wife. We're to submit to our perfect husband, Jesus, as he gives himself up for us. Jesus is the perfect husband who loves his bride, the church, and he's not harsh with us. As God's children, adopted into his family, we're to obey him in everything for our own good. Our Heavenly Father doesn't provoke his children. Rather, he's patient with us and long-suffering with our failures, always encouraging us by his Spirit. And although we were once bound, working under the law, if we're in Christ, we're now working for a different master, one who is good and impartial, paying back the wrongdoer whatever is deserved. Our master in heaven treats his workers fairly and justly, except for when it comes to giving us what we don't deserve. God is gracious and merciful, giving us new life in Christ if we will turn and receive it. And we won't receive what's due for us, for the wrong that we've done, if we trust in Christ. And of course, this list should also be read as instructive, showing us what the new life in Christ looks like for our everyday relationships. Because new life in Christ starts at home. It's 24/7, 7 days a week. But I also wanted to show how each of these roles points to our relationship with God himself, to your true identity above, if you are in Christ. Do you know what it means to have a new life in Christ, where you can relate to God as your perfect husband, eternal Father and Master in heaven, where you respond to him as a submissive wife, obedient child and diligent worker out of love for whom he is? Are you living the truth of who you really are? If you're a Christian, you've been raised with Christ and made new. You're a new creation. Do you know for yourself the truths of what God's done for you? Does being new in Christ change anything for you? If not, why doesn't it? Having been raised, you need to put to death the old you. This is done remembering your utter dependence on God for his grace, knowing that you're helpless to rid yourself of sin, but only in his Spirit can you crucify the old self on the cross of Christ. As you dig deeper into the root of your sin, exposing it to the light of God's word. Then, as the old you is put off, are you replacing that void with Christ, seeking to let his Spirit change you to be more like him, as he pours out his love and grace to you, grasping more fully your identity in Christ? But let me ask again, Do you know new life in Christ? Maybe you're just checking this whole thing out, and today's been a bit over your head. Well, thanks for sticking with me until now. You look at the lists of what not to do and what to do, and you feel burdened. You've tried to become a better person, be the best you, and all that, but it never works. You know your own heart, that you're always being led astray. Well, let me tell you the good news of Jesus again. You can share in Christ's death and resurrection. Receive the freedom from the old self to be given new life in Christ, where your wrong has been paid for by his death in your place, and your identity is secure with him. Turn from your old self, living your own life, and let Christ rule your life. Accept his offer by faith in him and trust in his promises to you. Do you know who you really are? If you're in Christ, your life is above with him. Nothing can change that. All you need to do is to live that out. Let's give him thanks and ask for his help. Father God, we thank you that you have sent Christ to pay for the sin that we never could, to die the death that we deserved, so that we can have new life, raised with Christ as he was raised, victorious over sin and death after dying on the cross. Father God, we pray that you would help us to know who we really are in Christ. Father, that we would be able to take hold of the new identity that you give to us by grace, and that we'll be able to live in that grace, putting off our old ways and putting on Christ, putting on the new life that you give to us. We pray that you would help us, that you would guide us, and that you would show us that it is all by grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.